Lord, what a blessing it is to be saved and born again and be in the house of God. I was going to mention this here before. Amen. But what a blessing it is to be here today. We're going to get started this morning. And as already mentioned, that we are starting a series on faith. And what I want to say to you by way of introduction to today's message and to the series is faith has become a word that's almost used by everyone and anyone to describe a multitude of things. Sometimes the word faith is used as a term of encouragement, how somebody says, well, you just got to keep the faith. And while many people use the word faith to describe someone's religion or even someone's denomination. So today we're going to begin a Sunday morning series that is titled, What is Your Faith? What is your faith? And I don't want that to throw you off because it's not referring to a religion, a belief system, or someone's choice of denomination. It's not that whatsoever. The Bible describes faith and the Bible defines faith. And I want us to get a hold of this in the message and in the series as we move forward in the several weeks to come. What is our faith in our life? The Bible defines it. It's a profound, it's a powerful purpose in our existence. It obviously is a powerful purpose in our eternal existence, our eternal salvation. And we need to understand that. And so as we begin to look at the doctrine of faith today and a few other thoughts and aspects of the Word today, I hope and pray that it'll be a blessing. But what we're going to find in the series as we lay the foundation of the doctrine of faith is we're going to begin to look at the characteristics of faith. We're going to look at that through the beautiful examples that God has given us in the Scriptures. We look through some entities, some people in the Bible. We begin to look at who and what they are. We can see certain characteristics that people had of faith, but it is the same faith. In other words, one person had a defining faith, whereas another person had a desperate faith, and another one had a delegated faith and a dependent faith. And we're going to be looking at that over the next weeks to come. What I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to look by way of the mirror of the Word of God, by the magnifying glass of God's hand, to evaluate what your faith may be in the Christian life. So without further ado, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles up to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 11. When you get there, as we normally do, as we would honor the reading of the Word of God, just one verse, Hebrews in chapter 11, let us stand as we would read or honor the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews in chapter 11. And we'll be in the very first verse. We'll pray and then we'll have a seat for just a little while. God is gracious in our life. He is good in our life. He is too good to us in all fairness. If we would stop and we would look at just the preciousness of our everyday living, of what God has done for us. And we see this through not only the faith, but faith in the living Word of God. We find the definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, our text verse 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Father in heaven, we do pray today that you please would fall down upon us, that you would rest upon our hearts, our souls, that you would touch and tender our lives, dear God, through the preaching and teaching of your word. I pray that every word that proceedeth out of my mouth today would bring honor and glory to the name of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if there be any thoughts, if there be any words that ought not be said, I pray you would stop them, that you would carry us into the right direction. Father, I pray if there be any words or thoughts that are forgotten or unthought of, I pray that you would bring them to remembrance, Lord, and make them manifest today, if you will. Lord, touch and tender every soul that is hearing this message. Father, I pray everybody that's present today that you bless them richly and wonderfully in this Christian life that you've given us all, dear Lord, that have freely accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So I pray this morning that you'd bless the time together, bless the message to the hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated if you will. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is the definition of faith. And this morning we'll be looking at the topic of the doctrine of faith. And so we're going to go over a few of these things and we'll look at it here as we move forward. Dr. R.A. Torrey said that gives a definition of faith, saying to believe God is to rely upon or have unhesitating assurance of the truth of God's testimony. He goes on to say, even though it is unsupported by any other evidence, to rely upon and have unfaltering assurance of the fulfillment of His promises, even though everything seems against fulfillment. I think that's a nice definition of faith. When we look at understanding the promises of God, the blessings of God, and when we look at a world, or we look at a situation, or we look at a circumstance that seems to be against every aspect of God's promises being fulfilled, having faith in His promises beyond our situations is a good definition of what we see in the Word of God. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Friend, our faith has a fourfold association in a person's life. Our faith, number one, we can understand, our faith is established by hearing. By hearing with our ear. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, and in verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 3, the Bible says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. There's an enormously doctrinal application of that verse that we will not go into this morning, but we need to understand that first and foremost, our association with faith in a person's life is established by hearing. Secondly, our faith can be established by looking. Did you know that we are to look for faith in our life? I'm going to have you turn to Isaiah chapter 45. We are to look for faith in our life. Isaiah in chapter 45 this morning. See how quick you can get there on a sword drill, and then we'll go back to our text verse. Isaiah 45. And in verse 22, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, the Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Now, I understand, where are we going to look to see God? We're going to look in His Word, the testimony that He has given us. Amen and amen. So we can look for faith in our life. Isaiah 45 verse 22. There is a faith that is a receiving faith. We can receive faith. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. Let me say that and read that once again. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. Do you see the association and how it builds now? It starts with hearing, it moves to looking, it comes to receiving, and then there is a believing aspect of faith. The word believe is found in just the New Testament alone 247 times, with faith found 244 times. What is faith? What is your faith this morning? Why is faith so important in our life? Many Sunday school children learn an acrostic of faith, that faith would stand for forsaking all, I trust Him. Now, when you turn away from the feelings you have in your life, the thoughts that you have in your life, the establishments that you have in your life, the evidences that you base your decisions on a daily basis with, and you place it in faith in a God that you've never met, never seen, hasn't walked through, no shining lights, no neon lights, no falling whatever light, anything like that come to mind, that's faith. Forsaken all, I trust Him. Amen. Beloved, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is never blind. I know we've heard the testimonies that, well, you just got to have a blind faith. We don't have to have a blind faith. We have the Word of God this morning. So there, faith does not be established with blind or taking a blind leap of faith, as Soren Kierkegaard so established in his philosophical writings. Faith relies upon a full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as given by His perfect Word. Turn back to our text chapter this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. And I won't have you turn all that much this morning, but in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6, Hebrews 11 verse 6, this is what the Bible says. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Friend, without faith this morning, you and I cannot please God at all. It is impossible to please God in any way, in any word, in any work, in any walk without faith. This is why you refute the evidentiary claims of people seeing Jesus Christ or seeing Mary on a mildew stain on the wall, or somebody or something showing up on a waffle when they take it out. This is why you refute those things, because if Jesus Christ visits you in your house, then beloved, you don't need faith ever again. Not one drop of it. And if you have no faith, you cannot please God. Can you imagine living in this world today? Can you imagine living in this world without faith? Can you imagine living in the world that we have today without faith? Because living in a world that we have today, or living in the world in general without faith, is to live in this world without hope. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, the Bible says, and without God in the world. There was a time when the Gentiles, we had no hope because we had no God, amen, or we didn't have God in this world. Faith is the fuel that we need every single day to get through our life. Yes, there are some days that needs less faith. That is true. While there's other days that we seem like we are barely hanging by a thread. As Job was going through and experiencing the most horrific tribulation that mankind could ever suffer, he was surrounded by these statements. Listen to some of the words that he said. Job said, "I am full of tossing to and fro." He said, "I made to possess months of vanity." He said, "Wearisome nights are appointed to me." He says, "Oh, remember that my life is wind." He goes on to say that "mine eyes shall no more see good." Guys, what does that tell you if someone says, "I will never see another good day in my life"? That's a life without hope, is it not? Well, he says in Job 7:6, and these are not up top, these are addendums. He said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." Guys, the importance and the need of faith extends far beyond even our eternal life. I mean, as if that's not important enough. Faith is needed to push you and I through, sometimes to carry us beyond the threshold of desertion. As a matter of fact, without faith, guys, without faith, number one, we are simply sinful. Look in Hebrews, if you will, there, and I'm going to have you turn back in the book of Hebrews just to look over to another chapter with me real quick. Look in Hebrews in chapter 3 and verse 16. I want you to see one of the examples that God gives us in the book of Hebrews concerning Israel, how we are given an example today that we can learn from. Verse 16, the Bible says, "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all came out of Egypt by Moses." The whole reason Israel suffered as they did was solely due to the lack of faith. They suffered because when they heard, they believed not. Psalm 78 verse 22 says, "Because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation." Guys, listen, if we look over to John chapter 3, and I'll get there. If you can get there quickly this morning, that'll be wonderful. If you can't, then that's fine. But in John chapter 3 this morning, this is what we can see another picture here of if without faith that we are sinful. John chapter 3 and in verse 36, the very last verse of the chapter. John chapter 3 verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Guys, sin is required the wrath of God. Paul said in Romans 14:23, "For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin." It is that simple this morning that if we have no faith, without faith in our life, my friend, it's beyond just not being able to please God. Without faith, we are sinful. There's no way around it. It is the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith in the Son of Man, the faith in the Son of God that relinquishes the requirement of the wrath of God on our life. But again, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to refrain from the sinful nature that we are born with. Faith, my friend, is a key that unlocks the door to God. There are thousands of ways that we can please Christ, but not one of those ways does not require faith today. We know where the sinfulness of our life comes from. It comes from a lack of faith. But we also know that without faith that we will rely on our sinful nature. So therefore, we need to look at what faith source is. I say the source of faith. Our source of faith, beloved, faith is God. Friend, it's a gift that is given to you and I from God that results in the grace of God. And you say, wait a second, preacher, that's just crazy talk. I don't quite understand that. Read with me from up top Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And you know the verse. You quote it. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Now read that verse carefully again. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's not just salvation that is the gift of God, but it is the very faith that is required to be saved that is a gift as well. See, we take no credit for salvation. We can die for our own sins, but we have to go to hell. So we can take no credit whatsoever. There are some that will teach you that we are joint heirs in the crediting department of salvation. And that's just not true. We're not going to get to heaven and shake hands with Jesus and say, boy, we did a good job, didn't we? No, sir. We're not going to do that. See, it is the gift of God. What is the gift, my friend? The gift is grace that saves through what? Through faith. It's a threefold unified gift from the source, who is God Himself. If you remove one part of that, you lose it all. If you take one part of God away, you take God the Father, you don't have God. You take God the Son, you don't have God. If you take the Holy Spirit away, you don't have God. Amen? If you take the spirit out of mankind, you don't have life. If you take the soul out of mankind, you don't have eternity. If you take the flesh away, well, yeah, you don't have anything. Amen? It's that trichotomy. It's that triunity that I was speaking of yesterday during the meeting. But the source is from God. And you need to understand that grace is what saves us, but it does so through faith. And all of that is a gift from God. It was Peter that said unto the council in Acts 15, verse 11, when he said, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Faith is both human and faith is divine. Man has the capacity for faith. And man is responsible for the use of faith. Faith becomes divine as the Spirit of God moves within our soul. As I mentioned before, that faith is the element that is needed sometimes to push us, to sometimes carry us beyond the threshold of desertion. There's a switch that is inside every single person. It's a switch that causes us, or tempts us, if you will, I want to use the word temptation more than anything, to desert, to quit, to stop, or to withdraw. Be it in the midst of trials, be it in the midst of struggles, be it in the midst of exercise. This switch is physical, emotional, and spiritual. And it involves all three of those aspects in our life. Each one of us at some point or some time in our life reaches a breaking point. There are some people in life, especially amongst the younger folk in this world today, they're good at one thing. And you know what that is? Quitting. Amen? One of the worst things in the world is when you look at a resume and it's 16 pages long. A resume. Here 6 months, there 8 months, here a year. Here, it's one of the worst things in the world. That breaking point in the emotional and the spiritual realm is just like it is in the physical realm. Brute strength will only get an athlete so far. Sheer force will only enable progress for a certain period of time. There must be finesse. There must be grace. There must be knowledge. But there has to be faith. Hope in that which cannot be seen, that will carry the soul through the final bell, that will carry the soul through the finish line, that will carry the soul to go beyond the buzzer. The temptation to quit The temptation to stop, the temptation to abandon, to just abandon ship, to withdraw. Be it from your Bible reading, be it from the local church, from the ministry outreach, from the prayer time, from serving God, from spending time with Him, be it from just living right. Now guys, listen, how many of us have been tempted? I'm not asking you to raise your hands. But how many of us, the list is endless, but how many of us have been tempted to just throw our hands up and go, my soul, I just can't do it, man. You've just been tempted of trying to live right. You're trying to live right. You're trying to do right. And there are certain days that it just seems like, man, you're just hitting a brick wall. And the temptation is there just to throw your hands up and say, you know what? I just can't do it. All the temptation that we deal with in our life. All the temptation to move or to do something else when the new has worn off. It is at that point. Listen carefully here, guys. This is the doctrine of faith. It's at that point, when you're at that turning point, that where that switch is ready to be flipped, when faith must be exercised at its highest level. The unseen trust in that which is beyond the moment of despair. The unseen benefit that is beyond the moment or the situation or the circumstance of depression. The unseen moment that is beyond the period of doubt in your life. Even though a member or a family member would attempt to abandon ship, even though you would abandon ship in your life, what you got to keep in mind, it is at this time when your faith must be exercised at its highest. It's just like Paul said in the midst of the storm, when the shipmen were about to flee under the cloak of darkness. I picture that. They're acting like they're trying to, they're taking the cargo off to make the ship lighter, and what they were dropping down into the water was an escape ship, little ship. Paul said, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Not one man perished in that final ship wreck of the Apostle Paul's life as he traveled to Rome. But it's in those moments. Guys, anybody can quit. Anybody can withdraw. Anyone can desert the ship. But souls in this life who are completely without hope, souls in this life that are without God, they can quit, and they typically do. But it's faith. It's faith that comes from the source who is God that will press us forward, having not seen the beauty of what the Lord has planned just on the other side. Just the beauty of what God has prepared for us just on the other, just across the other way. His working and reward made possible just in the near future, right in front of us all. Oh, James says in James 1, 3 through 4, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Guys, the faith is a gift from the source. It's a gift from God. And we must use it with responsibility. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy with me just real quick. 2 Timothy in chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1. Watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says here, it says, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Watch this. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul says, I know whom I believe. He says, there's a source of my faith that is a gift from him. And friend, that is your source of faith. That is your avenue. That is your crosshairs for faith. It comes from God. The very element that is needed for salvation is the very same source which supports us in the life that we live every step of the way. It is faith that comes from our source. Keeps us from being sinful. But it's also faith where we draw our strength. Beloved, I'm going to have you turn maybe just once or two more times and we'll be done. Go to Acts chapter 27 with me. We just read a piece of scripture out of this chapter. But faith becomes our anchor in the storms of life and enables us to look from the crisis unto the Christ. Look in Acts chapter 27 and in verse 18 and read this scripture, this whole event that happens here with me, with the Apostle Paul. He says, and being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, verse 18, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out our own hands, the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope, watch this, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. He said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but for the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be ye of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. Faith is the catalyst, my friend, that enables us the strength in our Savior to continue forward in this life that we live. What we trust in, or what we put our trust in this life for the strength that we need every day, can only be one thing, and that is God Himself. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In Luke 17:5, it was the disciples that said unto Jesus Christ, increase our faith. His answer is now the famous mustard seed comparison. And so often many people say that if you just have a teeny little bitty faith, God will let you work and do all these great and wonderful things. And that's not what it's meant. God rebuked them for having small faith and little faith. I'm going to save that for a later date. Our faith must be worked. It must be utilized. Our faith must be exercised. Otherwise, it just dies. Paul said this. This is what he meant when he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's talking about working and exercising our faith. He said that the strength that we have from our faith that makes us more than conquerors, guys. The power and blessings that come from faith is not the faith itself, but rather the divine object that our faith is in. And you may have strong faith today, but you may have strong faith in a weak object. I mean, it's just like walking on thin ice on a lake. No matter how strong your faith is in that thin ice, it ain't going to hold you up. Your faith must be valid, must not be vain. And your faith is only established by the object that is in, whether or not it can support you. So without faith, my friend, we are sinful. And there is only one source for faith that provides us the strength. But let me submit to today's message, and we'll be done by saying this. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today enables our survival. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will stand the test of time, the object of our inheritance. Faith gives us boldness to witness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we have in the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. When you begin to witness to somebody, are you relying on your own talents, your own finesse of words, your own knowledge in the Scriptures? Are you relying for your tenacity to do something? Now listen, you should be tenacious in witnessing the Word of God. You should be excited about it. You should have a zeal about you. I mean, man, you ought to have something other people want. Amen. But your ability today will never save a soul. Your faith in God will give you the boldness to witness to even the person that looks so willingly to reject the Lord. Faith in God will give you the boldness to witness. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will It gives us the steadfastness in a time of fear. Mark chapter 5, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. He said, only believe. Guys, we haven't seen heaven. We believe in it. We haven't seen Jesus Christ. We believe in Him and we believe on Him for salvation. That's faith today. Faith in Jesus Christ enabling our survival gives us eternal and a glorious future. John 11 verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is the doctrine of faith, friend. From one source given us strength to survive in all trials and troubles in this life, as well as salvation for eternity. So I close with this thought this morning on the doctrine of faith. What is your faith? Is your faith today a weak faith? Is your faith in something other than the Holy Scriptures, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, other than the main source who gave it to us? The very one that gave us salvation, also gave us the faith to receive salvation so that grace can be bestowed upon us? Or is your faith today in some other object, some other circumstance, some other situation, some other aspect of this world? What is your faith today? And what is it in? That's the question that I leave you with. That's the question that we close out today's message, the opening sermon for our series on what is your faith. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. We thank you for the many blessings that you've given each and every one of us. We thank you for the chance to come and read your scriptures and evaluate the doctrine of the living Word of God, the doctrine of faith. Father, we've seen the definition of it. We see that it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And there are a litany of things that we cannot see that you have planned for us in just the upcoming days, the upcoming weeks, the upcoming months. And Father, we pray this morning, as you are a rewarder of them diligently seeking, pray this morning, dear God, that you would reward our faith, dear Father, in many ways. Lord, my prayer is that people would get saved and born again. My heart goes out. The people of our community here, throughout this village, throughout the valley, that you'd have your hand upon each and every soul, every man, woman, and child, every mother, every father, every husband, every wife. Oh, Lord, you'd bear witness with them as we're seeing them, Lord, on a daily basis. We pray that you'd continually open up doors, eternal salvation into their life, that they too may have the faith that you've given each and every one of us, Lord. We ask these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.